If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
No way, Jose.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jet is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Good morning, beautiful people. If you guys could let me know, make sure my audio levels are coming in good. But here I am with you for another, I guess we're calling them morning dump now. I would like your opinion. Does morning dump or the morning dump sound better? I think the morning dump sounds pretty fucking dope to me. I don't know. It just sounds better. Like the morning dump. On the morning dump, it was a... We talk about blah, 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 blah. It just comes off better to me. I mean, I don't want to waste characters, though, because sometimes I do have lengthy titles, so I'd like to leave some room. But just thoughts. I think we're going with the morning dump. God, my hair looks goofy. Let me check in to see what you guys are saying. Poo Crew checking in. Just took my morning dump. Poo Crew, I like that. Is that what we're going to call the avid followers of this new series, assuming this keeps on going for a substantial amount of time? Although I say that, I know we talked yesterday about my current situation. Even if I do go back to full time, I will still probably have the occasional one of these, the occasional morning dump. If I stay, obviously, if depending on if my wife gets better or if you guys, if say there's a demand for this and you guys start paying up, then yeah, I'll probably stay this way, and then yeah, we'll be just keep doing this regularly. So either way, this will keep going. Just a matter of how frequently, how regular we'll be. There's so many poop jokes to be had here. Someone said, just took my morning dump. Hello from Denmark. What's up, IB? Hello from Azkaban. This intro fucks. That is correct. This is Lainey made this as an intro for me a while ago. And I still, it's kind of like become like the default one I go to when I don't really have some sort of other intro or something that sounds, that it's like something I want. Because usually I try to use like edits So I'll find like an edit online, and like, especially if it's applicable to the topic. But if it's one, if I don't have an edit that's applicable to the topic that I like, then yeah, I'll just fucking I'll rock that. I do like it for the morning dump though. I feel like it puts off the vibe I'm trying to capture. I feel like my afternoon shows are a little bit more like, I like the hardcore, like some of the music. If you've been around for a while, you've seen or heard some of the edits I use and the kind of music I like. But for the morning, it's more relaxed environment. I like that. That's the correct intro there. Good morning, Jose. Good morning, Abrogate D's, a longtime supporter of the show. Audio is great. Thanks, guys. If you're Jose, is there a Jose B or Hose B? Hey, yo. The existence of Jose implies Hose B. the morning dump. Yeah, see, the. I think, yeah, the. I always thought the whole thing was very strange. I'm sure there's much more a story. I don't know what it's referring to. I don't think I've even mentioned anything yet. Yeah. I do want to let you guys know, if you guys were paying attention last night to Already Dead, especially if you're watching it on my channel, it just cut out, like, completely. About 20 minutes in, it cut out. I got an email from them saying it flagged it for self-harm or something along those lines. And so then I looked to see what the hell they were talking about, because they gave me a timestamp, and literally it was using the title. Like, I literally referred to the title of the show, which was Already Dead, which I'm now like gun shy of even doing that. So it's like, yeah, I just thought that was funny. So if you guys see, I'm going to delete it off of the YouTube, because I appealed it and then it gave it back. But it only gave me 20 minutes because it was a stream. So it wasn't collecting the stream data anymore after they said, fucking pull the plug and shut it down. So yeah, there's like 20 minutes on YouTube. So it doesn't make sense. You'll watch the first 20 minutes. But I guess you could almost see that as a, maybe I should leave it up. That way it's blue balls people for the Rumble. But yeah, no, fuck it. I'm just leaving it up. I don't give a shit. Actually, I'm still torn in it whether I want to delete it or not. But either way, if you want the full thing, go to Rumble or go to Austin's channel. He has it on his YouTube as well. We also drop in all our audio podcatchers if that's something, the way you like to go about it. But yeah, it was weird. I just thought that was funny. I mean, I would assume it was probably like an AI thing. I know everyone likes to think there's a, you know, some conspiracy or whatever, and I'm guilty sometimes. But I think that one was probably just, I bet you they have like AI thingies, and I probably said some other words that were, you know, grouped together, make it sound like some sort of something or other was going on. And I would assume they probably, for bigger channels, give more leeway, because obviously they have more to lose if they piss off a bigger channel, so far as their reputation, money, whatever. So a channel like mine, it's not too big. It probably just takes just the right accidental keywords, and the AI bot goes, shut it the fuck down. And that's what happened. So, yep, found that funny. I do one more thing, one more little housekeeping item before we get into it. I just want to apologize. And I actually talked to him personally, but this is also a reminder to myself and to let you guys know that I plan on being better about this going forward. I forgot to check the Rumble chat when I left yesterday. So I got a $20 super chat on Rumble of, I've already got too many subscriptions, but I watch all your content. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, you guys, once again, don't have to give me money. I appreciate it though. But I mean, obviously he did give me money, but yeah, fucking, there we go. Let's see what else is in there. The conspiracy is building AI ban bots. Yeah, that is creepy. I mean, although to some extent I understand it when you have like a shitload of content and it kind of cuts down having to do, because there's stuff that like makes sense that a streaming thing would be like, I don't want that there. So yeah, I mean, if there were people talking about self-harm or like helping others to do it, it would make sense that they would. It's a little weird. It's so touchy about it, but whatever. Did Austin's get nuked too? No, it was just mine. So I think his channel was small enough to not get noticed. But whereas mine is big enough to get noticed, but not big enough to be able to protect me from getting my shit pulled. That's the way I see it, at least. That would be my guess. If I were to create a algo for this shit, that's kind of how I would do it. All right, let's get into some of the stuff. But yeah, I totally forgot to bring up the Rumble. I'll do it right now. That way I don't fuck up later. I'm bringing up the Rumble chat, so that way I'm keeping an eye on you guys there. It seems like sometimes they don't actually send over to for me to be able to see all of them on StreamYard anyway. So it's good for me to keep an eye on it. So let me set that up real quick, and then we have a few things to go through today. I told you it was going to be a Diddy heavy episode. I'm not entirely sure that is going to be the case. I mean, I may get one or two Diddy things in there. There were things that popped up in my feed yesterday that I was like, I really want to cover this with you guys. But first off, I think it's kind of a fun little entrance into this. Let's talk Adrenochrome. I mean, ironically, the front picture here is Diddy. Now, this is from my buddy. I forgot. Let me pull down that. There you go. Pull that down. Fuck, now I gotta find my tab again. Boom, boom. Here we go. All right, we got Paranoid American, the homie. Give him a follow. But he, at Brogrove, he did a whole presentation on Adrenochrome. And I bet you he probably took his notes and just literally made them in threads. But you know what? Good for him. Squeeze all that out of it that you can. I mean, that's what I did with my Kenneth Trenadue article that I wrote. I had made a thread, and then I made it an article. So, you know, I mean, obviously I didn't just copy paste. I did move things around. I changed this. I changed that. Like, definitely a very different thing by the end of it. But that is the beauty of having all these different mediums. You can kind of move it around and figure out different ways to make things work. So yeah, it's like if you created a PowerPoint presentation, why would you not then convert that into a thread? So good for him. But yeah, he did a presentation at Brogrove on Adrenochrome. He's also got a good YouTube. I doubt it's on YouTube. It probably got nuked. Probably on his Rumble. I don't know where you can find it, but he's also done a good little video on it before, too. But here you go. What is Adrenochrome? Glad you asked. Here's a thread full of the facts and fiction from this infamous psychedelic drug made from human blood. Claim. By the way, I do want to reiterate real quick. You guys should totally follow me on Rumble. Because even just the fact I'm covering this thread could get me fucked. And you know, obviously we just talked about that I got my shit pulled yesterday. I'm not saying the ISRon's upon me, but you never know. So definitely follow me over there, or if you prefer audio, do it that way as well. Claim, Adrenochrome isn't even real. False, Adrenochrome is very real. It was discovered as early as 1923 by Abderhalden and Gellhorn, who detailed a deep color of some adrenaline-based solutions that were left at room temperature for 24 hours, concluding that the more deeply colored solutions were less active. In other words, adrenaline will spontaneously break down at room temperature. And here's a little picture. Claim, the connection between rabbits and adrenochrome is just conspiracy theory. False. In fact, an interesting coincidence is that adrenochrome was discovered specifically during experiments with rabbits, and subsequent, even unrelated studies were also from rabbits. In 1931, Marion O.P. Wiltshire published a study titled The Influence of Tissues and Amino Acids on the Oxidation of Adrenaline from the Physiological Laboratory of the University of Bristol. Including the introduction of Wiltshire's research was a note that rabbit's intestine is used in all experiments. The rabbit is killed with a blow on the head, and the whole of the small intestine removed from the mesentery and ringed and placed in Ringer solution. Okay. I don't really know how relevant that is, but okay, interesting. Although the blow to the head one is a way to not take him out quick, so I don't know if that would really... I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. I'm thinking they're trying to produce adrenochrome from the rabbit. So smacking the head real quick would not be the ideal way, because that's going to be quick. Claim, the connection between adrenochrome and Freemasonry is just a conspiracy theory. False. In 1934, Melvin M. Johnson, acting on behalf of the Supreme Council, 33 degrees of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite, Northern Jurisdiction, started a fund of over $5 million to research dementia praecox. Nearly all of the published research on adrenochrome dating between 1930s to 1970s got accredits to Scottish Rite for funding in their papers. All right, interesting. So yeah, literally the 30s to the 70s, the bulk of the research was funded by them. All right, well, that's interesting. Claim, the media has only started covering adrenochrome recently. False. Even outside of medical research papers, the discovery and use of adrenochrome was advertised nationally in many different outlets. For example, this is from the Montana Oil and Mining Journal in 1942. An easy chemical reaction turns adrenaline in test tubes into a dark red powder known as adrenochrome. It is not in the least poisonous. It can be synthesized. A present drawback is difficulty to make it keep long. All right, interesting. Here's a little article. Adrenaline relieves high blood pressure. Claim, adrenochrome isn't psychedelic. False. According to the 1952 Scottish Rite formal report and many other published studies by Abram Hoffer, the only people who were disproving the psychedelic effects of adrenochrome had no experience with it. Every paper published so far on adrenochrome showed that it was psychologically active and changed behavior in man and animals. A curious situation resulted in which many who had worked with adrenochrome provided data that showed it was hallucinogenic, while several who had not studied adrenochrome insisted that it was not. All right, claim. Adrenochrome was first popularized by Hunter S. Thompson, 1971. False. While Fear and Loathing might have been commercially successful, many earlier books and short stories suggested both psychedelic and supernatural phenomena related to adrenochrome. For example, Blood of a Whig by Terry Southern, published in 1967, described stealing the adrenochrome-rich blood of a schizophrenia patient and vividly experiencing the patient's life as a result. That's creepy. Stealing adrenochrome-rich blood of a schizophrenia patient. Okay, all right. There you go. Adrenochrome, or claim, adrenochrome isn't psychedelic. Again, false. In fact, adrenochrome is listed first in Legal Highs by Adam Gottlieb, published in 1973. It even clearly states that adrenochrome causes chemically induced schizophrenia. Its semi-carbazone does not. Semi-carbazones are crystalline powder compounds that form when adrenochrome reacts with semi-carbazide to create a non-psychedelic shelf-stable version. All right. Claim, adrenochrome is made more potent from fear. Unproven. This claim is related to a combination of factors including a 1959 Vincent Price movie, The Tingler, Clockwork Orange, 1962, Fear and Loathing, 1971, It, 1986, and the fact adrenaline production is linked to fear. Claim, from 2022, The Daily Show with Jordan Klepper, you can get it online. True. While technically true, the forms of adrenochrome advertised online are typically stable semi-carbazones, which renders adrenochrome inactive as a psychedelic. This is noted in Legal Highs, 1973, Scottish Rite Formal Report, 1952, and even the 1923 paper by Aberhalden and Gellhorn. Claim, adrenochrome isn't psychedelic. Again, false. In fact, there is a classified top secret video from 1955 which specifically cites adrenochrome as hallucinogenic drug. Okay, so a declassified top secret video from 1955. All right, we'll take his word for that. I do want to see. Let's go to let's check this out real quick. All right.
States, and even a few cases of chronic schizophrenia. They represent about 60 cases in all. And furthermore, we are continuing our experimental work with hallucinogenic drugs such as mescaline, cannabis, adrenochrome, etc. Are there any other questions?
Yes. Can MER-17 be used in intravenous?
All right. Well, that's interesting. Let's watch the intro of this real quick. Right, this is a standard kind of disclaimer about this being secret information. No person is titled solely by virtue of his greater position to knowledge or possession of classified matter or information. All right, you get it's kind of one of those type headers for those listening. Like a grainy old video. You guys are getting audio on this, right? I think you are. All right, let's get back to it. Sorry, my bad. Although this film may have been shown to the general public, the fact that you've seen it here is secret and must not be disclosed to any persons other than those whose official duties require such knowledge or information and have been cleared for access to secret information. All right. Obviously, we're not going to watch this whole thing. I just kind of wanted to see kind of just seemed legit. Because obviously I don't know where this came from. To some extent, I'm taking Tommy's word, the paranoid American's word, that this is legit. I don't know. Seems semi-legit. I don't know. I could buy it. It also could be bullshit, but I don't know. I'll take his word for it for this. Another claim from 2022, The Daily Show with Jordan Klepper. It's not used for anything. Some use in the 1960s to treat schizophrenia, but showed no promise. False. Aside from the multiple sources showing adrenochrome is psychedelic, a 1977 study titled New Anti-Migraine Drugs Used in the Treatment of Children and Adolescents know that 7 out of 9 cases of migraines in children were alleviated by adrenochrome. All right. So good for migraines. Cool. Claim adrenochrome is more potent in children. Unproven. In fact, all studies show that adrenochrome produced from any animal's adrenal glands, young or old, is chemically the same. However, there are interesting studies about pineal glands having a more potent effect on children versus adults. The conflation between pineal gland and adrenal gland lore might stem from these studies dating back to the early 1900s. Many of these studies made claims that pineal gland was linked to moral development, and even a 1914 headline published in the Times-Dispatch of Richmond, Virginia, reading, "A food that does away with youth that can rapidly turn children into men." All right. It is interesting that the idea that that's a lot of this comes from people conflating pineal gland stuff with that, because the lore behind the pineal gland, I don't know to what extent it's true or not, is that's what produces DMT in your body, because DMT is a naturally occurring substance. I think the science is out on that. That's the case. I mean, don't fucking quote me. And then a lot of people surmise that the pineal gland's what produces it, and I don't know if it's true or not. This is just a hippie woo-woo, but supposedly most people, as they get older, the shit calcifies. It's not really active anymore. It's more active when you're younger. Now, to what extent is that a natural occurrence, or is that because a lot of people try to say that's like shit in the water or this or that? And I don't know. Maybe it is to some extent. I don't know. Maybe it's just a natural thing. It would make sense that at a younger age, maybe there would be some sort of beneficial reasons why your body would create more of this at a younger age. You know, maybe you just get numb to life experiences as you get older. Sorry if you hear that cat. I don't know who's fucking yelling. So I don't know. Interesting. I just found that interesting. The idea that maybe there's some conflation there. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a drug that's produced from the pineal gland as well. And so maybe there's some sort of conflation that happens between two separate products. Possibly. I'm just talking out my butt here. All right, let's keep going. Interesting coincidence. This article about feeding children pineal glands to accelerate puberty was published alongside an illustration of Moloch with the headline. All right, this is kind of like a little bit what I was getting into, that maybe there's some sort of other thing out there aside from adrenochrome that maybe is more comes from pineal gland stuff as opposed to adrenal glands, because those are very different. I feel like it's like the difference between meth and like DMT, although these are like almost, I guess you could have like with evil connotations to them. Alongside an illustration of Moloch with the headline, "Victims of Moloch into the open and fiery jaws of a monster." All right. Weird. That is bizarre. Okie dokie. All right. That's all of it. I just thought that would be interesting to go through. Definitely check out Tommy's work on this. Let's run through the chat, see if there's anything you guys have to say. Is that a cat in a t-shirt? Oh, did one of the cats walk by? Yeah, right now it's starting to get a little bit colder, so we put it on her. Also, like, it's one of our cats. It might have been the pregnant cat you saw. I think we have a jacket on some of the other ones. She, like, pregnancy seems to, like, with cats or just animals in general, and really even people, definitely causes like behavioral changes, and she became a real fucking bitch when she got pregnant, this cat. So like, and there is something about putting them in a shirt makes them a little bit more subdued sometimes if you have like a cat that's being like causing problems or fighting with people, other cats or whatever. It's not like it's not gonna fix everything, but it does seem to chill them out a little bit. I don't know if it's just because they feel restrained and not as able to kind of fucking start shit. I don't know what the reasoning is. We've just noticed that. So we put a sweater on her and she's been a little bit better, because she was being fucking a nightmare to all the other cats and causing fights. And so we put the jacket on her and it's been a little bit better. She's still kind of a bitch, which I get it to some extent, probably a little bit protective because she's about ready to have kitties sometime soon. So yeah, Pete Diddy looks like he's the captain now. Fuck YouTube. Fuck YouTube. Yes, very much fuck YouTube, guys. Good morning. Very racist. Good morning. Jose to my bowels. Look at me. I'm the captain now. Corbo has lost the Battle of Colon. Good morning. Good morning, Tyler. Good morning to you. All right. Let's see what else we got for you guys today. I have an article from the great Ken Silva. It seems to be like this is just show is like kind of me just every day reading a Ken Silva article. But let's be real. I'm going to be real with you. That's one of probably like so far as actual articles, like it's probably one of the only people I really read. I don't really generally read news articles. They're usually bullshit. Ken seems to always be Johnny on the spot with stuff that I'm interested in. So, all right, let's do that. Let's get, all right, here we go. All right. Whistleblower, FBI ran secret honeypot operation against Trump campaign. All right, Ken, this is my buddy Ken Silva. Whistleblower has reportedly made stunning allegations that the FBI conducted an off-the-books operation against Donald Trump in 2015, infiltrating staff with at least two female undercover agents that acted as honeypots while on the campaign trail. All right. The whistleblower allegation, first reported by the Washington Times, is reportedly being reviewed by the House Judiciary Committee. Neither the FBI nor its then-director, James Comey, responded to media inquiries before the Times published its report. The Times did not endeavor to explain why the whistleblower disclosure is only being made now, more than 9 years after the fact and 6 days ahead of a major election. According to the Times, Comey personally approved of the off-the-books operation. All right. The whistleblower disclosure reportedly said that two female FBI undercover agents successfully infiltrated Mr. Trump's 2016 campaign at high levels and were directed to act as honeypots while traveling with Mr. Trump and his campaign staff on the trail. The off-the-books investigation did not appear to target a specific crime, was more of what agents would describe as a fishing expedition to find something incriminating about Mr. Trump. All right. The whistleblower reportedly alleged that the off-the-books investigation had no predicated foundation, so Mr. Comey personally directed the investigation without creating an official case in Sentinel or any other FBI system. According to the whistleblower, the female undercover targets included Trump campaign advisor George Papadopoulos, who eventually pled guilty to making false statements to the FBI in October 2017 as part of the Bureau's Russia investigation. God, can you imagine just being some schmuck that's just not good with the ladies and then a couple smoke shows are just throwing it at you? You are just like, you're screwed. It's game over. You lose. I don't know. Whatever. Interesting. According to the Times, the FBI closed its off-the-books honeypot operation after a newspaper obtained a photograph of one of the undercover agents and was about to publish it. that's funny. Assuming this is true, obviously, they closed... they stopped the operation after a newspaper got a photo and was going to publish it. So that means they literally probably got involved with this newspaper and said stop, and then they were going to do it, and they're like, well, okay, we'll just stop, just stop. I mean, I don't know how they handled it, but that's funny. That's all it took was someone taking a picture. The FBI press office, according to the agent's disclosure, misled the newspaper by claiming the photograph was of an FBI informant, not an undercover agent. There you go. The FBI said the informant would be killed if the photograph was published. That is insane. Oh my god. So they were really leaning hard into the Russia shit at that time. They're like, yeah, this is probably some Russian mob shit. Like they're gonna if she gets found out, they're gonna kill her. Like additionally, the FBI employee alleged that one of the undercover agents agreed to be transferred to the CIA so that she would not be available as a potential witness. And another bureau employee involved in the operation was rewarded for activities with a promotion and is now a high-level FBI executive. All right. The Times concludes its article by reporting that the whistleblower observed FBI employees being directed to never discuss the operation with anyone ever again. All right. Well, that sure is something now, isn't it? All right. Let's close that out. All right. Let's see what you got to say. I enjoy how you read everything in a panic. Yeah, well, I mean, that's just kind of... I mean, I'm reading these with you guys, so this is kind of running it through. I'm sorry, maybe I'm immediately going to, like, almost 2x speed. But it's just, like, I'm almost reading it how I read it in my head and how I process it. And you'll notice sometimes I'll repeat certain things because, like, I feel like I should repeat that sentence. Like, I don't know, it's just you're literally experiencing my learning process or thinking process out loud, basically. Yeah. I'll try to be a little bit better about that going forward. There's a couple things that you guys sent in the Tower Gang Telegram that I figured, since you guys shared it, I mean, I may as well bring it up. Let's do this one first. Share screen. All right. I've seen this talked about in quite a few other places. I'm not entirely sure I'm going to read all of this because this is, but I'll probably skim some parts. But this, I've seen other shows talk about it. I mean, but I don't know how much we really need to read to get the details of it. Woke Doc refused to publish $10 million trans kid study that showed puberty blockers didn't help mental health. No fucking way. A prominent doctor and trans rights advocate admitted she deliberately. By the way, this is New York Post and Chris Nessie. I don't know anything about Chris Nessie. I'm just throwing it out there just to give some credit. A prominent doctor and trans rights advocate admitted she deliberately withheld publication of a $10 million taxpayer-funded study on the effect of puberty blockers on American children after finding no evidence they improved patients' mental health. Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy told the New York Times that she believes the study would be weaponized by critics of transgender care for kids and that the research could one day be used in court to argue we shouldn't use blockers. Which weaponized by, I mean, it is astounding. Critics, including one of Olson Kennedy's fellow researchers in the study, said the decision flies in the face of research standards and deprives the public of really important science in a field where Americans remain firmly divided. It's just essentially showing improper logic because it's like the idea that you're starting from the conclusion is essentially like just simply the fact that the one statement, which obviously we can say woke or whatever, but it shows a dogma. It shows you're committing to a conclusion and you're working backwards from there. You're trying to find things to support your conclusion as opposed to actually trying to see if you can come to a reasonable conclusion that comports with reality. Because, weaponized. She said the study would be weaponized, that research would one day be used in court to argue we shouldn't use blockers. So that, all of that. It's like, obviously, if the idea was we're going to study something to understand the possible benefits or negative things to it, then it's like, obviously, like, yes, I guess you could say it's weaponized, but it should be at that point if you're showing that if this study shows it's not correct. Let's see if we can find something specific on the... All right, here we go. For the National Institutes of Health Fund study, researchers chose 95 kids who had an average age of 11 and gave them puberty blocking drugs started in 2015. The treatments are meant to delay the onset of bodily changes like the development of breasts or the deepening of the voice. After following up with the use for 2 years, the treatments did not improve the state of their mental health, which Olson Kennedy chalked up to the kids being in really good shape both when they started and concluded the 2-year treatment. All right. However, the Times point out that a rosy assessment contradicts early data reported by the researchers, which found around 1/4 of study participants were depressed or suicidal before receiving treatment. Result also does not support the findings of a 2011 Dutch study, which is the primary scientific research cited by proponents of giving kids puberty blockers. That study of 70 kids that found that children treated with puberty blockers reported better mental health and fewer behavioral and emotional problems. Okay, so they had this earlier 2011 Dutch study that is what people point to, and this was 70 kids, so not a huge sample size, although to be fair, the kind of factors you need in place in order to be a participant in the study would kind of be limiting to getting a big pool. But either way, and this most recent one seems to contradict it, and they just want to ignore it. This is what they tried to essentially make it go away. They didn't publish it. That's pretty interesting. Olson Kennedy, the outlet points out, is one of the country's leading advocates for providing gender-affirming care to adolescents and regularly provides expert testimony and legal challenges to state bans on such procedures, which have taken root in more than 20 states. I think it's the bulk of it. I think you guys get the shtick. Not good. Not cool to do. But yeah. All right, let's see. Let's pop back into the chat. When did puberty become a disease? Yes, for sure. when they decided they wanted more malleable kids as illusory commission. The truth is such a weapon against her ideological preferences. Yeah, because that's from Corey Howard. Spits on ground, says illusory commission. Every kid could probably gain 40 pounds by the end. LMFAO. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely probably did a wreck on their body. I would have liked to have seen if they had tracked other things. Like if you had a group that was doing something like, you'd think you would run more than just one study, because it's like, why would you only be checking on mental health? Why would you not be checking on physical health? Because I really feel like their physical health is probably shit. I mean, that would just be my guess. All right, I have a couple. What do I got? I think I got one more from the suggested from the audience that I want to go through. Let's do that real quick. I don't really know what to make of this one, but let's go through it together. Never mind. I'm thinking of a different one. This one, there actually have two from you guys that I'm going to go through. I told you we wouldn't have a whole lot of Diddy. This is one from Diddy. I haven't read it yet, but someone shared it in the Telegram, so let's go through it real quick. Authorities launch interagency operation at federal jail in New York housing on Diddy. The facility, which houses about 1,200 detainees, has been plagued with violence and dysfunction for years. Okay. And now this was by Michael Balsamo and Michael Sisak from the Associated Press, and this was October 28th, so this was 2 days ago, so it's fairly recent. All right, investigators from multiple federal agencies launched an interagency operation on Monday at the troubled New York City jail where Sean Diddy Combs is being held. The investigators from the Bureau of Prisons, the Justice Department's Inspector General's Office, and other law enforcement agencies descended on the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, the Bureau of Prisons said in a statement to the Associated Press. The law enforcement operation was designed to achieve our shared goal of maintaining a safe environment for both our employees and the incarcerated individuals housed at MDC Brooklyn. What is this? I'm trying to understand what they're even saying is happening here. I thought that it was sounding like they were like an investigative type thing, but now I'm getting a different vibe of what they're saying. Prison officials declined to provide specific details about the operation Monday morning. The safe environment for the employees and the incarcerated individuals is weird. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, I was assuming this was implying that something to do with the investigation or something. Combs lawyers have highlighted a litany of horrors of the jail, including deplorable conditions, rampant violence, and multiple deaths, as they've made repeated attempts to get him released on bail while he waits trial next May on sex trafficking charges. Yeah, okay. I'm assuming they're implying that this operation is related to making the jail a safer place, which is weird. And a multiple agency. I feel like something else is going on here. That's weird. The hip-hop mogul's detention and a rash of crimes connected to the jail in recent months have further galvanized public interest, leading to increased scrutiny and a push by the Justice Department and BOP to fix problems and hold perpetrators accountable. Last month, federal prosecutors charged 9 inmates in a spate of attacks. The allegations detailed serious safety and security concerns, including charges after 2 inmates were stabbed to death, another was speared in the spine. Jesus Christ, with a makeshift ice pick. All right, well, it's weird it's an interagency thing. Although that could just mean 2 agencies, and that doesn't have to be from some glowy shit. That could be the BOP, the Bureau of Prisons, as they mentioned earlier. That could be cops. Either way, wild. A correctional officer, earlier this month, an inmate was charged in a murder for hire plots. According to prosecutors, the inmate used a contraband cell phone to orchestrate the plot. The criminal charges offered a window into the violence and dysfunction that plagued the jail, which houses about 1,200 people, including Combs and Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of the collapsed FTX cryptocurrency exchange. In a statement on Monday, the BOP says operation in Brooklyn has been planned in advance. And there was no active threat. All right, yeah, it just sounds to me like whoever shared this is just saying that like the jail is kind of rough, or I don't know if what there was some angle for why you want me to read this, but yeah, it looks like the jail he's in is pretty fucking rough. I would assume he's probably in a better spot of it, though. Although this could be a setting the stage for like, Oh, it was so bad. We had to have some sort of multiple agency op to, up the security. And even then, that wasn't successful. I mean, we couldn't help it. He just died, Maybe that could be it. Kind of like with Epstein, how they were like publishing the stories about what was it, with his roommate or whatever, about how he's getting, I think he had gotten like hurt or something, and it was actually the roommate. They had essentially like kind of seeded out information like before, that made like little stories that were like kind of almost making you think like, oh, he might die, or they're implying it's very dangerous here. So I don't know, maybe that's what they're doing. They're kind of seeding the ground of, so that not, way we're not like, what the hell if something does happen to him? Because I do think there may be a lot. We talked about this a little bit on Already Dead last night. And it is weird. We were kind of talking about the Kamala thing and like all the different celebrities have been coming out. And I mean, maybe you can make the connection. Obviously, I think it's kind of a weak connection to connect it, but it is just for speculation's sake, for fun. You kind of can make the connection from those celebrities to the Diddy stuff, because these were all like, a lot of these people were like Diddy Party type people. Especially considering Kamala is really trying to target kind of like the urban, the hip hop type, like the black vote, the minorities vote. Like, so she's like Usher or like shit like that. So, I mean, these are like, Diddy related people. So it almost seems like it is weird that like this happened at this point in time. Like, you could connect the dots that perhaps there is some sort of shaking of the tree by powers that be to kind of let certain characters know, like, hey, you're in a dubious spot, so you should probably really have my back right now. I don't know. Interesting. Now, would they do that? I don't know. But yeah. All right. Let's exit out of that. Let me follow up with you guys in the chat, see if there's anything going on. Human nature. Okay. Good morning. Good mornings. I'm seeing in the chat. All right. I said we wouldn't do full Diddy, but I think maybe we will just go and do a few Diddy ones. And then I will leave the other. There was another thing that was suggested by one of you guys to cover. I'll cover that probably tomorrow. So I'm just letting you guys, if you guys do drop stuff you want me to cover, I'm going to cover on the show. So I'm just saving that one for tomorrow. I have a few. I think I might be able to get all through all three of these with you guys. A couple more videos. And one is a thread. Let's do a couple videos to kind of break up this, all this talking. Let's start with, let me see, let me find this one, share screen, there we go, share. All right, let's do this one. The author of Kim Porter's book, this is from Shadow of Ezra, has made a bombshell claim about the Diddy tapes, stating that they could take down Hollywood and the entire entertainment industry. He disclosed that some of the tapes were secretly flown out of the country in a private jet, while numerous others still exist, documenting 30 years worth of shocking recordings. All right, let's play this.
There's a claim that Kim Porter kept copies of Diddy's alleged sex tapes as leverage. What evidence do you have to support this narrative?
The tapes.
So you actually have tapes?
I'm not going to do fully comment. Let's just say there's tapes that exist, yeah.
Well, let's ponder around that.
There's
the investigators in the case that is now filed.
Yes.
Right. Say that they were in possession of tapes. They can actually confirm that.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7. And we guarantee, if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Fall is in the air, and that cooler weather calls for an update in your skincare. Moisturizing is key to keeping wrinkles at bay. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
There are tapes,
sure,
as well as baby oil, as well as all of the other things that they found.
Yeah.
And so with that, we do know from that perspective that the DA involving the case that Diddy is now facing.
The federal government.
Yes, the DA and the federal government. Yep. Have tapes.
Attorney General.
And so my question is, there's a claim that Porter kept copies of, and this is in your book.
Yes.
That she kept copies of Diddy's alleged tapes as leverage, right? And in making that, it would be assumed that you would, or the possession of those tapes, you've seen them, you have them, you know about them. And like I said, what evidence do you have to support the narrative?
Yes, there are tapes that exist.
Okay. The book alleges that Diddy kept a vault of tapes documenting his alleged sexual encounters. Was there any hard evidence that such a vault existed?
The sources say there was a vault that existed, yes. And some of the tapes were flown out of the country on a private jet. That's from the sources directly, so I have to believe them. If she's angry, if she was abused, if she's fighting back, because we know through, and I'm going to reveal some of these other things that are on the drive that discuss why she was doing it and when. Okay.
So you didn't, these are other things that you didn't include in, correct. And why did you keep that?
Correct. Out? Because I can't reveal everything at once. It's too shocking. If I was to release those tapes, the world would shut down. Okay. If I showed one of these tapes, so I'm telling you right now, the whole music industry and Hollywood, it would just grind down like this. They're all going to start pointing at each other like this, and it's going to be bad. We've already set it up. We have multiple attorneys. We know how to do it. It's not my first rodeo. I solved the greatest murder case in history. Three of them. I know how to do it. We're going to do it, but just going to come in pieces. And there's also ways we can, let's say, not censor it, but we can kind of soften it, right? Like the whole tape doesn't have to come out. All the tape. I don't have all the tapes. There's other people that have the tapes. I can't control them. We already know they're shopping in Hollywood. We have proof of other people telling us. We actually didn't have that one they showed. So there's multiple out there. Remember, this has been going on for 30 years. So I'm not the only one who has them. I think I have specific ones that no one has. But so, yeah, it's gonna be extremely shocking. We've got to be really just kind of one step at a time.
But so, you can confirm nor deny that what you claim to have, that no one else has, correct?
I would say this. Let's say there's 10 tapes, right?
So this is a hypothetical.
Yeah. Hypothetically, there's 10 tapes. There's a couple of those that no one has, but the flash drive has. I can pretty much guarantee.
And how can you?
Because if anybody has those, they're going to go to jail. If they release what I believe they think they have or they want to release, they will most likely go to jail. That's why we're working with the federal government. We're working with the federal government.
That last little bit, that implies something. That implies something very, very dark. All right.
Oh, you're currently working with the federal government.
Well, not like what you're saying.
No. I want to be clear. I don't want to make
any. We're going to give them to the federal government.
Oh, so you're going to give the tapes to the federal government?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't forget that. We're going to give the tapes to the federal government. Who got the Epstein tapes? The federal government. Now, I think the difference here between the difference here between I think the Epstein situation and the Diddy situation is I think we're actually going to get a lot more substantive, I guess, while not also being substantive in a sense, like somewhat substantive, I guess would be the way, like results from this. Like no one really went down from Epstein. I think people are going to go down from this. But now the thing is, this is where people like us need to keep our eye on the ball, because I think the powers that be, the elite, the politicians, the whoever, all the people that are on the higher rung are going to, I think, sell out the people on the lower rungs that are still kind of on that, you know, hierarchy or whatever. Like, so the Diddy's, the Ashton Kutcher's, the Beyonce's, the Jay-Z's, this smaller rap guy, this Hollywood actor, this, like, it, that's going to, but you, I think what I'm saying is when you need to keep your eye on the ball is I think you do need to be paying attention to the people that we find out, like I just mentioned, and then from there connect, like, who do they know? Like, who are they connected to? Who gave them these, like, you know, essentially do research from there. Like, keep in mind, they're going to leave out important stuff. They're going to give you red meat in the future, I think, with this one. They're going to give far more red meat as opposed to with Epstein to make you feel like you're, like, you got justice, like something happened. But pay attention to the people get busted, and then pay attention to the connections to the people that get busted, and then kind of go from there. Look, also keep in mind for the actual people with power, which, like, the politicians, the money elite, you know, stuff like that. Keep in mind, just keep an eye on it. I think that I feel like there's got to be a different, there's no way that with this, that it shakes out and that we get something different, or that we get Epstein all over again. Exactly. Like, I have a hard time believing they do the exact same thing all over again, to where all this bombshell information comes out and nothing really happens. So, but I do think it'll still kind of be like nothing happens, but it'll be like, now how high will this go? I don't know, but it's going to be mostly inconsequential, like people who just dance and sing for you on TV, and you're like, whoa, like, and they're gonna be like, oh my God, we got something out of this. I'm like, okay, cool. You took down the person who sings songs and you know, got put in compromising situations by people who put them there at some point. Someone who really is not a mover and shaker, aside from, like, moving, like, culture, probably. So, I mean, there is still wins to be made. Like, you know that these people are taking off, to some extent, they're blowing up their infrastructure by doing this, because they are showing people that are in this, like, this whole blackmail operation, that are like the Johns or whatever, they're showing them that they don't have the protection they think they have. So it's kind of make people be a little bit more hesitant to even get involved in there. And so they've kind of blown up their whole operation. Maybe not entirely, but, you know, or they're going to have to at least change methods. But yeah, to some extent, they're shooting themselves in the foot, I think. But I think they know they kind of have to. They can't walk away from this one without losing something, and they got to kind of smoke screen it, so that way the people that they actually give a shit about can slip off into the shadows. All right, let's do this. All right, real quick, before we keep going, we're gonna get into more Diddy stuff. But I did see somebody in the chat said, asked me about if I saw that American and Canadian soldiers. A little hint, that's what I'm talking about. Someone, maybe it was you. Maybe you in the Tower Gang Telegram shared that in our tab. I was intending on playing that, but I have like three like Diddy things, and I was already covered in Diddy things, so I was like, whatever, I might as well stay on the Diddy roll. So I'll come back to that one probably tomorrow, but real quick, good morning, Too shocking, bro. Trust me. Yeah, if I don't know if you're still talking about the soldiers thing. I may have to not play the videos because I don't know. That'll probably get me in trouble since there's like dead bodies and stuff. This is when I call BS. Yeah, no, I you're to some extent you're correct too. Like or Tyler, I don't know if that's legit or not. Bear in mind, I believe that was the dude. I already exited the tab, but I believe that was the dude who's writing the book for essentially one of Diddy's victims or whatever, or not victim. I forget the specifics. I think it was like his ex that died under suspicious circumstances. So supposedly he got a hold of him, I think. I forget the details. So, I mean, definitely go, this guy might be full of shit. I don't know. I just found it interesting, but it does seem like whether he's full of shit or not, that I do think that is, it makes sense. Like that comports to what I would assume is going on. The first Diddy raid was to take some of the files. Yeah, for sure. Probably. Good morning, retards. Good morning, Jules. Nothing ever happens. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. All right. Yes. Back to... All right. I do want to remind you guys before we keep going that today's episode was brought to you by NadeauxShaveCo.com. If you're tired of fucking your face up with those multi-blade razors, this is the way to go. You can go back to traditional shave. This is good shit. For $75, you shave for an entire year. I mean, that's unreal. And like when I say an entire year, you get 300 blades. No, you get 100 blades, my bad. And those blades, the single blades, they'll last you, you know, depending on how prissy you're being about it, pretty much till it goes dull, which what is like probably, you know, a couple to three, four times, depending, I guess, on how fucking rough your face is. But, yeah, so just do the math on that. Like the year, I mean, for me, that lasts me way longer. But you know, when you're using those fusion blades, you got to swap, or like the multi-blades, you got to swap those out pretty quickly too. And those things, like a pack's like what, like $30 or some nonsense. So just run the math on that. I mean, it's way cheaper going the Nadeau route. Also on top of that, it's better. It just is. I mean, my face is smooth as a baby after I shave with this. It doesn't fuck up my face like the multi-blade stuff does. And I'm someone who does have struggle with shaving. Like when I was at the end of my time active duty, I actually was on a shaving waiver because I legitimately would fuck up my face from shaving every day. It wasn't good. But when the dough, I don't have that problem. So definitely check them out. Go to GoShaveCo.com. Use Jose at checkout for 10% off. If you want, also, if you're someone who shaves on the rag, if you don't think those 100 blades will cut it for you for a year, check out their Quarter Shave Club. That's the way to go. 25 cents per shave. But with that, all right, let's get back into it. Check back on you guys. Good morning, my homosexual friends. Good morning, Jose. What do you think of Candace Owens going down the Kamala bloodline, finding Jewish Indian heritage? Yeah, I'm not surprised. It is pretty wild. I will give with Kamala, like the coverage of that, I've been following that fairly closely. Interesting stuff. She's literally connecting the bloodlines of Kamala to Biden, kind of bringing it back. I never really went down that rabbit hole that people say like, oh, all the elites come from similar bloodlines or whatever. And you're like, but this kind of got me in there a little bit. I was like, oh shit, that's legit is what it seems. But yes, Kamala's not black. That's the long and short of it for you guys out there. So you can save you guys like 10 hours of Candace content, which by the way, I'm not, if you want to go check it out, Candace has been killing it lately, in my opinion. So yeah. All right, let's get back to, let's do this. Let's do this one real quick. Boom, boom, boom. Give me a second, people. Let's do a thread and then we'll end it on a video. All right. In light of the Mike Jeffries bust, let me make sure you guys are seeing what I'm seeing. All right. In light of the Mike Jeffries bust, by the way, this is from Para Power Mapping. I believe this guy has a podcast. I've never checked it out. I don't know. He's got a pretty decent amount of followers, so it's probably pretty good. Go check it out. At @ClonniePin_Gosh, obviously that's some sort of that's a Johnny Gosh reference, along with, I believe, Klonopins, which, considering my past as being a little bit of a drug addict way along ago, especially particularly with pills, I believe that's a Klonopin. That's a pill that knocks you out. It was never my shtick. Just makes you sleepy. Not fun. Like, why would you want to be sleepy? More of an opiate guy. Not anymore. But anyways, in light of the Mike Jeffries bust, here's a thread on Ashton Kutcher's so glowing, its luminescent career, evincing how he personally entwines the Epstein Nexus, Diddy trafficking ring, Church of Scientology, and Israel, pulling from Diddy Declassified Research and a Coexist Inc. episode. So, all right, there's at Coexist Inc. if you want to check that out to find that episode. All right. Pew, pew, pew. Like, yeah, look who else got their start at Lex Wessner's. This is shared. It's a quote tweeted that. Look who else got their start at Lex Wessner's Abercrombie & Fitch and went to start his fund. Went to found an org to stop sex trafficking. There you go. You see a young Ashton Kutcher and an Abercrombie ad. I mean, look at this. Remember when we talked about the twink mill last time? Come on. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Twink mill. Like, look at that. If you were a gay man, like, this is, like, you're licking your lips. Like, come on. Like, that's not my thing, but, like, I feel like, if I had to guess, that's what gay dudes are into. Like, generally speaking. Obviously, there's different types. People, if you ever dug into that, there's the bears, there's the otters, there's the twinks, there's the, I don't know. That's about, I think, the end of my understanding of their different subtypes. But I'd say, generally speaking, the stereotypical what a gay dude would be into, that right there. These little twinks. There you go. And this is what Abercrombie was pumping out. And Ashton Kutcher seemed to be maybe one of them. Which I had forgotten until I saw this, that, yeah, Ashton Kutcher is, like, one of those people who got his start in modeling, as opposed to, like, coming up the acting way. So, yeah. To begin, you need to know about how both Ashton and the Diddler, good buddies going back to the MTV heydays, had their thick portfolios and entry. Okay, I don't think that's how you spell entry. Whatever, I'm retarded. Maybe it is. Into the upper echelons of the capital class enabled by billionaire Epstein client Ron Burkle, with whom they're mutually invested. Okay, a little bit of a loose connection, but all right. We have to touch on the anti-sex trafficking initiative and tech startup Thorn that Kutch founded with then-wife Demi Moore in 2011, who married a man more than 10 years her senior as his teen starlet, by the way, which is ironic considering Ashton's repeated defense of rapists and pedo enablers. That is interesting. I didn't realize that Demi Moore was married to a man older than her at one point. That's interesting. I mean, I'm not saying you can really derive too much from that, but it is just bizarre because I remember as a kid when Demi Moore and Ashton got together, he was very young and she was very old. So I don't know. It's weird. It'd be odd. I mean, especially if you see his weird connections and the... It almost kind of looks like it could be like a handler relationship that passes on, you know, kind of a generational thing. But I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into that. I just find that interesting, that it's weird that, I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with someone who's like 20 and is dating or married to a 34-year-old or whatever, or vice versa. I mean, as long as they're an adult, but it is just weird that it like then it went from Demi Moore as a young woman married to an older man, like a substantially older man. And then when she got older, then she got with a substantially older, younger dude. I mean, it's just odd. I just find that weird. I mean, maybe that's more speaks to her trauma than anything. I don't know. Or life experience, not even necessarily trauma. I don't know. But weird. One rapist Kutch has stuck his neck out for would be his longtime homie and co-star Danny Masterson, Scientology scion, of course, for whom Ashton and wife Myla submitted character letters during his retrial. The leak of these letters forced Ash to resign as board chairman of Thorn in hopes that his ties wouldn't tarnish the org's reputation further, which frankly one would be forgiven for wondering whether its purpose is more greasing the wheels of the international sex trafficking contrary to actually combating it. Speaking of which, this brings us to the Kutches, this actor who weirdly made his personal bids to watch videos of child stuff while shadowing the FBI, ties to the Church of Scientology. The Mastersons basically attempted to recruit all of their 70 shows co-stars into the church. And while Ash and Myla never formally joined, they performed at multiple Christmastime church fundraisers in the early aughts and more recently attended a church member's wedding with Masterson 5 or so years ago. Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, these are all interesting little things. Now, once again, these are not like, none of these are like conclusive because, I mean, if you know anything about Scientology people, that's just kind of what they fucking seem to do. Come join my cult. So it's not at all crazy that if you got one in there, they'd be bugging everybody about going. I mean, obviously, once you, it's a pattern recognition thing. So it's all these things. I'm not trying to at all shit on old Kalani Pingosh here. I'm just saying, you know, none of these things in isolation, but you put them together, you can at least go, all right, well, that's interesting. That's weird. For the sake of working in the MIC and Zionism angle, guess an event he attended in 2018. Yep, Kutch is friends of the IDF booster. He was in the audience with Zionist power broker Sheldon Adelson for a performance by one of Diddler's musical pupils, namely Pharrell. By the way, Sheldon Adelson, for those who forget, the husband of Miriam Adelson, I believe Sheldon died or something, or I don't know why his wife somehow, the one for some reason, they're handling the shit now. But basically, they're just kind of one the same. They're like Zionist super broker or super funders or super donors or whatever the hell. And yeah, that's where old Donnie Trump's getting like something like, you know, around 100 million or more. I forget the specifics from them. But anyways, once again, this thing by itself, not that weird, because let's be real, these elites, they tend to fall in with the Zionists, so not that crazy. Put together, a little weird. It's a nonprofit that raises money from American pockets to subsidize things like healthcare and therapy for IDF vets, crucial charitable component of the Mira Israel genocidal war machine that keeps it running smoothly by offsetting the military human costs for 75 plus years of apartheid and murderous programs in the Levant and keeping Israeli vets and their families satisfied. All right. Winding back to his formative pussy posse-esque relationship with Master as co-stars on That 70s Show in the 90s, Kutch has confessed certain PDF, I guess, tendencies on more than one occasion, be it a dare slash bet where Danny promised Ash $10 he made out with 14-year-old Mila on set, recounted by Kutch on the Rosie O'Donnell show. Although I guess I don't want to be creepy here, but I would also be interested in how old Kutcher was at that time, because I think they were all pretty young. I mean, obviously, I think he was an adult, so either way, fucking weird. But it is very much, it's a lot different thing if it was like an 18-year-old, still weird, not trying to defend it, or like a 20, even if it was like a 20-year-old, that makes a huge difference to me. Because, I mean, like 18-year-olds, like he could literally still be in high school or got out of high school. You know, they're kind of still sort of in the somewhat same circles, sort of, still fucking weird. But it goes from being like, to where I can't find any sort of justification. Once you get to like, I don't even know exact age. I feel creepy putting exact age, but it's different if he was like 18 or if he was 23. So I'd be curious how old he was at the time. But or else Kutch's comments on Punk'd in 2003, where he talked about how he was waiting with bated breath for Hillary Duff and the Olsen twins to turn 18. Okay. I don't know how old. Okay, cool. He was co-stars in the 90s. So that made him substantially older. I would guess he was probably 20s, 30s at that point, but even, I mean, I don't know. That's, while that is like weird and gross, it's, I don't know. I mean, that this also could be something, I don't know the specifics of this, when he made that comment. I mean, it's also like, I've heard people make creepy comments like that. I mean, it's so weird. I'm not justifying it when people say stuff like that. If they're being serious, obviously people make jokes. I mean, if you took any sort of like Tower Gang out of context, I'm sure you could find me saying some crazy shit. But if they're being serious, if he was like, I don't know, it's creepy. Although you see people make these stupid jokes sometimes. I don't know. Especially older. Like, I remember that being like a more old-timey thing. We'd hear people make those type of creepy comments. I don't know. So it just felt like it was a different time. I don't mean, I'm not at all really defending it. I mean, especially if someone that happened now, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck? That's weird. If they're being dead serious. Now, further evidence of the overlapping nature of the Diddler and Epstein nexuses is contained in what must be the most sus fragrance launch of all time, which Kutch also attended, of course. Diddy, Jay-Z, Weinstein, Epstein, Leo Lauder, brother of Epstein associate. Remember that VC firm that I mentioned earlier that was started by Kutch with investment from Lolita Express frequent flyer Burkle? The other partner in that venture was Israeli music producer Guy Ozeri, who had, you know, worked for Madonna, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kitus, they say Kitus equals PDF, which Kitus was I believe that might be the lead singer. I don't remember. I know that he's the one you always see photos with where he's like something like in his 50s or 60s now, and he's like rolling around with like a literal 8-year-old. That's weird. It may be legal, but that's weird. It's very, 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 very fucking weird. I'm sorry. Ozeri is also Diddy connected. For example, they co-hosted VMA parties. Diddler attended Ozeri's Jews Who Rock event, and Diddy also put Guy up to coaching Nick Cannon after his anti-Semitic remarks. Okay, so I do like that points more to the, if you guys may not remember, there was a while ago, Nick Cannon, I don't remember what he said, it said something, and it might have been like running to the to might have been like defending Kyle Irving. I forget. And then all of a sudden, there were people coming up to him, coaching him, being like, oh, you know, he kind of had the, it seemed like he was having a struggle session is what it then became. And it seems like Diddy may have done. Guy. I don't know who Guy is, though. All right. So I'm guessing that's the person who was up to coaching Nick Cannon. All right. One of Kutch's A-grade tech investments, the three bought into Airbnb super early. All right. How interesting that Kutch had an appearance with the DIY hospitality startup CEO Chesky, protested by a Code Pink member for nothing less than the fact that the company allows illegal West Bank sellers to put their homes up for short and extended stay rent on the platform. Oof. That's creepy. I never even thought about like Airbnb used for that. You could theoretically, as a Jewish person, you could go over there, claim one of these houses as your own that's owned by a property or whatever by the Palestinians and make it your own and then rent it out for Airbnb. So you're not even staying in it. So all right, that's gross. More in Israel in just a minute, dude. Where's my Kabbalah? Not only is the Kutch incredibly connected to the Church of Scientology, not only did he grow up Catholic, but he's also a devotee of celebrity Kabbalist Rabbi Berg, whose followers number Madonna and his ex Demi. All right, well, that's interesting. Let me see. The funeral. Okay, there was a sighting of him at the funeral. Or, okay, now does this, what does this, does that just mean he knew people? I don't know. Weird. I'll say that. Dude, where's my Kabbalah? Sorry, I'm reading, for those who are listening, I'm trying to read one of the things in here. His wife, Mila Kunis, told, they taught me everything I never knew about her religion. Judaism, he was, but although as of 2018, he has not converted. On trips to Israel, Kutcher visited Kabbalah centers in Tel Aviv and Tzfat. In 2013, Kutcher remarked, Israel is near and dear to my heart. Coming to Israel is sort of coming back to the source of creation, trying to get closer to that. And as a creative person, going to the source of creation is really inspiring. And this place has been really inspiring for me, not only on a spiritual level, but also on an artistic and creative level. Hollywood star Ashton Kutcher has been enjoying the sights of Israel and the weather. The actor who's married to actress Demi Moore and is perhaps best known for having one of the world's largest Twitter followings was in Jerusalem for a Kabbalah event. He and his wife are among a number of Hollywood followers of the Jewish mysticism, even marrying in a Kabbalah ceremony in 2005. All right. Accompanied by his by Miss Moore's daughter, Scout, Mr. Kutcher attended the birthday party of Kabbalah Center founder Shraga Berg at the David Citadel home. Scout would have been 15 this time. All right. Well, that's interesting. Well, that's something. A little bit weird. Okay, whatever. I'll read this part. I almost skimmed over it. Momentary interlude with a tiny request. Please follow Power Power. God, that is a tongue twister. Para Power Mapping on Patreon for free. You don't have to sub, so that we can continue our auditory struggle against the Zionist cultural power brokers and their sex trafficking assets like the Diddler and Epstein Uninterrupted Mercy. Yeah, so if you got something out of it and you do want to support them, go check it out. All right, oh, looky here, another mutual Kutcher and Diddler contact, this time none other than BBL Drizzy himself. The Drizzler was more than happy to be punked by Kutch, the Diddler not so much, probably because he prefers to be behind the camera. This is just a picture. I mean, this doesn't really tell me much, but, all right, yeah, this is truly terrifying. I found this is the last one. I found this interesting. This is just creepy. I'll play this real quick.
Is... to
vacate the ring. This is a 12-year-old that's coming up to, and Diddy later drunkenly invited her to the after party, apparently. It's creepy. Especially when you know about Diddy now.
Hey! Oh my gosh, this still rocks! Steve, I totally love what I do, and playing Samara was definitely one of the best characters, or should I say the creepiest, so this whole movie has been a great experience for me, and I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank everybody involved with this movie, and especially director Gore Verbinski, and also I want to thank my mom, my grandma, and God, without whom I wouldn't be here, so
good. You're doing so good.
I just want to say, everyone will suffer.
I'm assuming she was in some sort of horror movie, because that was creepy. Oh, there's it. Okay.
Party. I won the MTV Movie Award.
Comes an after party tomorrow.
Yeah.
Alright, that was weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Still to come. Harrison Ford.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's what they're referring to. I mean, I don't. Obviously, not too much to be pulled out of that. Other than that's fucking creepy. That's weird. All right. Yeah. Let's get back to chat. See what you guys have to say. Boo, boo, boo. What do you think? Oh, never mind. Boo, boo, boo. It's a pick from Brogrove. Demi Moore tried to make out with a child on camera. I vaguely recall that. Striptease was a banger, though, yeah. Hey, brother, those names, Drizzler and Diddler. Yeah, I'm, sounds like, what is it, the fucking Costco guys or something. all right, let's see. Oh, shit. Someone put $2 in the Rumble super chat. I almost feel like this is just a distraction. No, you keep giving me money. This is a good distraction. but yeah, no, you feel free to super chat over in Rumble. I'll keep an eye on that. Maybe at some point StreamYard will get their shit together to where I can see it. But yeah, I don't know. Okay. I thought that that thread was pretty interesting. I thought there was gonna be more God, I'm having a brain fart right now. On the Abercrombie connection for some reason. I don't know why. Let me see. Yeah, for some reason I thought it'd be more of that. But it is interesting. I found it weird. This dude started out in Abercrombie. And yeah, it seems to be some sort of weird connection going on here. All right, let's do one more thing. Let's do one video and we'll get out of here. One more thing on Diddy. And we'll conclude the morning dump. Here we go. Let me see.
Jamie.
Now this broad is like literally like a female me. Listen to just like, I feel like kind of looking at her and then how she talks. She's got a speech impediment too and everything. All right, let's do it.
Jamie Foxx says he was poisoned by Diddy and he turned him into the FBI. And allegedly he got poisoned by Diddy because he was in Freak Off tapes and the feds called him as a witness. And this is something that's been speculated about Jamie Foxx for quite some time, but now he's actually saying it out of his mouth. In Jamie Foxx's upcoming Netflix comedy special, he made a startling claim that Diddy was behind the stroke that he suffered a year ago. He went into detail about what happened before, during, and after his health scare, and then looked at the audience and said, "Diddy was responsible for my stroke." And what's crazy is there is a celebrity bodyguard that has been speaking about this for over a year, and he recently just did an interview right before this information dropped, speaking on it again, and he said the information was about to come out.
Well, I know he poisoned Jamie Foxx, and Jamie Foxx reported him to the FBI because of it. I know that's a fact.
Wait, you're saying that Diddy poisoned Jamie Foxx, and that's how Jamie Foxx got sick?
Jamie Foxx reported this man to the FBI because of this.
Is there any idea why Diddy would want to poison Jamie Foxx?
You get called to testify if you on camera and some of this footage, and you want to make it a little bit easier for yourself. It's ways in this industry people go about doing things. But by the time this drop, this is going to be in the stratosphere. It's going to be in the ether by the time this drop. You can probably look it up right now. But by the time this interview drop, this is going to be out in the ether for sure.
Now, this celebrity bodyguard went on to explain how they would use cyanide, and this is a highly toxic, fast-acting poison that can be lethal. And what I found really crazy is, if it's not enough to be lethal, it can actually cause pneumonia because it leads to a decrease in oxygen utilization. We know that Kim Porter passed away from pneumonia.
It can be exposed by being inhaled, ingested, or absorbed through the skin or other means. Al B. Sure has spoke about how Diddy is the one that allegedly put him into his coma after speaking out that he thought that Kim Porter was unalived. And today, Al B. Sure took to his Instagram and shared this post of him and Jamie Foxx. Al B. Sure even took to Instagram again just recently when that book was sold on Amazon about Kim Porter, saying what happened to Kim Porter and what happened to him. He explained how Kim was taken from us too soon before she could complete her true thoughts on everything that she was going through with Diddy, and her disappearance of her computer and vital evidence raises significantly more questions. Kim Porter was getting ready to expose the reality of being abused, drugged, and trafficked, just like Cassie Ventura. He said that Kim was taken from us because she was set on course to accomplish what Miss Cassie Ventura did by igniting the bonfire, which brings us here today with the avalanche that brought Satan to their chambers. For over a decade and a half, I've been posting about and tagging random law enforcement agencies in hopes to protect loved ones, avoid deaths and tragedies that can have all been avoided. He said he has been ignored, ridiculed, and medically silenced to cover up the crimes that you are all now very aware of. He said the costly campaign to silence and physically harm me from exposing. It aimed to prevent me from further sharing public facts and insights that Kim Porter shared with me during our frequent and intimate conversations and her attempts to save my life by sharing frequent plans to do harm and possibly ending my life. Fortunately, I'm the only survivor by the blessing of a medical team that initially gave up on me because multiple system organ failure, septic shock, incubation, and being on a ventilator for 38 days, and it forced me to visit death's doorstep. But the God I serve and worship had another plan. Keep in mind that this is just the G-rated version of what I have endured for over a decade to silence me. I also kept forensic records of every individual who was sent my way to set me up, track me, gaslight me, and allegedly cause harm to my system. Al B. Sure then went on to explain how he told the feds that they need to reinvestigate Kim Porter's death. Al B. Sure even said back in the day that he told Kim Porter to call the FBI, and there have been rumors that she was actually working with the FBI before she passed away. So now we have multiple people confirming that Diddy's MO is poisoning them when they are getting ready to out something, just like Al B. Sure said from the very beginning that he thought that Kim Porter was unalived. Now we have Jamie Foxx confirming that Diddy allegedly poisoned him, and this is what led to his stroke and put him in the hospital, because he was called as a witness by the feds because he was found on Diddy's freak-off tapes. People are claiming that this is Diddy's MO, and what would these people have to gain from saying something crazy like this? Like, I am telling y'all, anybody that had a weird passing that was around Diddy or even a medical emergency needs to be investigated, and I really hope that the FBI does have this information and they're highly investigating it, because it's way too crazy for somebody just to make that shit up. But y'all let me know what you guys think about all this in the comments.
All right. I thought that was particularly interesting. I'll leave you guys with that. You guys can stew on that, you know, think on what that means, because I don't really know what to make of that, to be quite honest with you. It seems kind of legit to me. It just seems kind of wild, though. You're like, it's like almost like you're like hesitant to buy it, but I don't know. Maybe it's legit. Yeah, might be something to crunch through your head, your thoughts on it. But yeah, I'll let you guys go. I'll be back here tomorrow. I got hashtag free Diddy. I'll be back tomorrow, probably roughly about the same time. If there's anything you guys want me to talk about, if you're in the Tower Gang Telegram, let me know. If you're a patron, let me know. If you're one of my patrons and you do want in that Telegram to make suggestions or whatever, let me know. I mean, obviously, I think most of you guys are also typically mutuals with me on some sort of social media. So you also can like DM me and say, hey, this or whatever. And most of you guys I recognize, like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. You're one of my patrons. I tend to know who you guys are. So you can always send me a DM. But yeah, I can also try to give you guys access to the Tower Gang Telegram, where we have a little tab in there if you'd like. Or if there's really a push for it from you patrons out there. If you want a Telegram for my stuff, let me know. I can try to figure it out. Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me, Jules. Tower Gang tonight. Yeah, pop in. We're back to the normal time. Episode 201. 200 was last week over at Bohemian Grove. It's up on all the Tower Gang. Actually, I think it's only on Rumble now. So go check that out. It was a fun one. But yeah, I'm going to get out of here. If you guys want to support me, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. If you want to keep seeing more of these, hopefully I'll get a little bit more smooth at this as time goes on. But I mean, really, it's more of a chill, just kind of hanging out with you guys, talking to you guys, going through some research, telling you my thoughts on them. To what extent I'm like, oh my God, this is damning. Like that, the last one was just like, it is like felt kind of damning, but you're like, I don't know, I got to think about that. I got biblical anarchy. Yeah, I got stand finally. Yes, I did. I got a stand. It's pretty nifty. I think I like this better than my like little arm that you normally use. It's got like a little 5-pound weight on it. It's fucking, so it's pretty sturdy. I dig it. If you guys want to support me, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. Lowest level is $2. That gives you the early stuff. The normal No Way Jose episodes usually will give you like a week or more, preview before everyone else gets to it. Also, for my already dead stuff, it allows you to be one of the talking heads on there with us. But if you want to do that, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. The highest level, I read them off every episode. Those are my Patreon sponsors. I give them a quick shout out. I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's. I have at @ZOVERACK, @_InfiniteZeal. Jacob Daniel, the Biblical Anarchy Podcast, @BiblicalAnarchy. Then Tim Tuttle, @JollyLionCleeble. Then my homie, Will Bell, who's got this delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. Go find that stuff online. And then a big fan of the show, @RealJoshElliott. Appreciate everyone's supporting the show. And if you want to keep seeing this, if you want to keep seeing 3+ of these morning streams a week, then I'm going to need you guys to support the show. If not, this will go away after a while. That's just kind of, frankly, that's kind of the way it is. It will go away. I'd much rather keep doing it. But I got a family to support. So it is what it is. Robin's here. What up, faggots? Sorry, I'm just waking up. Well, sorry, we're finishing. Thanks, Jose. Thanks, bud. If you guys want to, if you don't want to support me monetarily, you also can, if you want to actually get a product out of it, you can go get the Nadeau Shave Co. I mean, that is one of my sponsors. So in a roundabout way, you are supporting me if you do that. And also it's a good product. I dig it. I highly recommend it. And then, or if not, you can like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff, boost up in the algos. You can, do all that sort of stuff. You can clip. One of the great things is when people make like clip things or make edits or whatever, and be sure just to tag me in whatever social media you do it on, and I'll be sure to boost it in whatever way I can, depending on what social media it is. So there's options. Tell a friend, share. You can also leave it. Maybe I should start doing, actually do the thing that some podcasters do where they read their reviews, but I don't even know if I've really, I think I've only looked at my iTunes reviews like once or twice, and there were some mean people and it hurt my feelings, so I stopped. Okay. Although I just also just kind of like, I don't know, one of my it feels conceited going through those, but maybe that's what I should do in the future, that way to incentivize you guys to do it. So yeah, leave a good review in whatever podcatcher you use. That helps out a lot. But yeah, with that, follow me on Twitter @TowerGangJose. And with that, guys, we are out. See you guys tomorrow, roughly about the same time. Bye-bye.
Fall is in the air, and that cooler weather calls for an update in your skincare. Moisturizing is key to keeping wrinkles at bay. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of 5-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, 2 incredible serums, and 2 luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought.
Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.